Well, a moment ago, we heard in our epistle reading from 1 John the following. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. What are we to make of this imposing verse? For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I have a friend whose daughter recently started what she calls a bug hospital, which is exactly what it sounds like, a hospital for bugs. So she takes in bugs that are on their last leg, sometimes literally, and she attempts to nurse them back to health. This is amazing. Now, I don't think she actually has a very good track record. She's not been into bug hospital technology for very long. It's not her top priority. And this is why she's turned to hiring some new bug hospital employees among her friends in her neighborhood. So she asked one of the new kids on the block why he should be hired. And he replied, "Well, I have experience. I worked at a worm hospital." Who knew? Who knew that these things existed? And with that comment, I think he landed himself the job. Easily the most qualified kid in the neighborhood. Now, when we hear Jesus' statement today, it's hard to imagine that we're qualified for the job of what he's putting forward, especially in light of our experience, right? I'm not sure that I can obey his commandments. In fact, I know that I cannot obey his commandments. And there's the rub. Not only do I not feel qualified for the job, but my experiences seem to communicate that Jesus' commands are burdensome. I'm not able to keep them. They make me less free. They make me less human. At least they seem to do that. I'm sure you maybe have felt this at some point in your own life as well. Probably not the only one. Well, the problem, I think, is that it is not that our vision of freedom is too big, but rather that our vision of freedom is too small. And my point today is simply this. When we love that which is most real, most true, most beautiful, and most good, namely God, then and only then will we be free to love and to live as fully human beings. But this doesn't come naturally, right? And why doesn't it come naturally to us? We are, simply put, wild. In his collections of poems entitled This Day, Wendell Berry, do yourself a favor and buy this collection, by the way, Wendell Berry drives home this very point, that we are wild. He says the following, "As for the word wild, I now think the word is misused. The longer I have lived and worked here among the non-commercial creatures of the woods and fields, the less I have been able to conceive of them as wild. They plainly are going about their own domestic lives, finding or making shelter, gathering food, minding their health, raising their young, always well adapted to their places. They are far better at domesticity than we industrial humans are. It became clear to me also that they think of us as wild, and that they are right. We are the ones who are undomesticated, barbarous, unrestrained, disorderly, extravagant, and out of control. They are our natural teachers," he concludes, "and we have learned too little from them." What an incredible insight. And I think Berry is spot on if we have eyes to see. You see, it's we who are not inclined to stay within the bounds that God has created. We see God's structures as strictures. I do, very often. I see his commandments as oppressive. Put simply, we have a skewed view of human freedom. We think we'll find freedom in created things, but without God, those things become our ultimate, and they shoulder the weight of all of our hope and our love, which they cannot ultimately handle. Only God can set us free. And so the call from Scripture today is to have our vision of freedom enhanced, our framework replaced, our paradigm shifted such that we grow over time to learn that it is through the ways of God most fundamentally that we become free and most fully human. And so where do we start? Well, I think we must start with admitting that we don't actually believe that God can make us ultimately free. We have to be honest about this. We believe that political power will make us free, or that a perfectly curated house and yard will make us free. We believe that rock-hard abs or how many boards we serve on will make us free. We believe that where our kids go to school will make them free. We believe that if we can just be a little bit more successful, if we can just take that next step without ever failing, not even once, then we will be free. But we're not free, especially if we buy into this. We're far from free if this is how we live, because we become enslaved to anxiety and depression and fear and competition and jealousy and anger and even death. And so the gospel calls us back today to abide in God's love, not lesser loves, not the love of money or the love of power, the love of sex or the love of respectability or prestige. The list goes on. No, abide in my love, Jesus says. And the truth is that we do this as we keep his commandments. That's what we've just heard from Scripture. And this is both, on the one hand, terrifying, and on the other, hopeful. How so? Well, it's terrifying because it's patently obvious that we don't keep God's commandments, right? And what does that say about us? But there is grace. The word of Scripture is a word of grace, and this is why the call of Jesus is hopeful. Remember that it is Jesus who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden, it's light." So Teresa and I recently planted a tree, several trees, in fact. Was it burdensome? No, it wasn't. Was it hard? You bet. Why? Why was it not burdensome? Because we love it. Digging in the dirt, the soil beneath our fingers, this work makes us more human, more free in many ways, even. Faithful gardening calls for following particular rhythms, doesn't. Commands even, we might say, that correspond to the grain of the universe, to the nature of creation, to the way that God has made the world to grow and flourish. It is a fact. It's just a brute fact that there are ways of gardening that bring life, and then there are ways of gardening that bring death. Roses flourish, not because they're left alone, but because they have pruning and boundaries when they are attended to and nourished, right? Might this also be true for us, I wonder? Why do I view, for instance, the structure of God's commands as strictures? Because my vision of what will truly make me free is so often rooted in a lie. But the good news is that God has planted a tree, the cross. Was it hard? Yes. Was it burdensome? No. Why? Because of love. God has dug his hands into the dirt of creation to grow a more human Clint and a more human Jonathan. And Tom, and Ashley, and Teresa, and Larry, and all of us, and more. Christ is the flower of this tree, and we share in his fruit. You see, the same Christ who calls us to love him with all of our being, yes, that is demanding, is the Christ who loves us with all of his infinite being on the cross in the tree of life. The same Christ who calls us to live lives of faithfulness and obedience, this same Christ is the one who takes our unfaithfulness and our disobedience onto himself to the cross. And this changes everything. When we understand this, we're free to live in light of this truth, to respond to the gratuitous love of the Father who has invited us to receive the fruit of his life, actually. And then we're free to pursue faithfulness, to fail, to get back up again, and to do all of this within the confines of grace rather than competition. And isn't this how we grow in all the things that we love ultimately? The true golfer does not find growth in golf a burden. Even if it may be hard, the true spouse who loves does not find their beloved to be a burden, not ultimately, even if the relationship may be hard. I hope Teresa agrees with that. No, we love these things. And this takes us back to my main point. When we love that which is most real and true, most beautiful and most good, namely God, then and only then will we be free to love and to live as fully human beings. Free to golf, cook, watch football, shop, love our neighbor and our families in ways that don't elevate them to the place of God, burdening them with unrealistic pressures. The deep irony, is that when we become free in God, we become free for others. Our job is no longer our salvation. Our kids are not our Messiah. Our body is not our greatest hope. Our prestige is not where our identity is found. Instead, we become more freely given to our jobs in a healthy way. We become parents who can love our children in realistic and life-giving ways. We can pursue health of the body in a way that is rooted in a love of fitness, not the idolization of it. And we find our identity in having been born like Jesus by water and by blood, by the waters of baptism and the blood of the cross. And here we begin to see our vision of freedom is enhanced, our framework of human flourishing is replaced, our paradigm of how we view the burdens of love are changed. Love is not burdensome. Loving God is not burdensome, only loving that which is lesser than God. And the source of love is burdensome. In other words, when we love God, actually, we unburden ourselves and those around us. We begin to become free. Free from the lie that freedom is found in sin, and free from the lie that salvation and hope exists in any other source than God and Christ. Amen.